Thanks, Jess. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm on. Not sure. Here we go. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great to see you. Great to see people here in person and the people online. Welcome as well. Do you know, it's great to be here and worshipping God in this place. Do you know, it was around about 1983, okay, I was a teenager and I was in a church and some people who were leading the youth group came to me and said, would you consider helping by leading the youth group because we're going to go off to Bible college and we need someone else to do it. And we've got someone else who'll do it with you. So there's a male and a female. We got this girl, her name's Karen. And Karen Timms was her name back then. That's actually my wife now, by the way. And anyway, so Karen and I go and we knew each other. We were kind of in the church together, but we you know, just sort of knew each other. Anyway, we started leading this youth group together. And it was a lot of fun. And not only was it great fun, God did some amazing things in that youth ministry. I remember we had this camp one time, and at this camp, I think just about 80% of the kids at the camp, kids, young people, gave their life to Jesus for the first time. Isn't that awesome? And Karen got really sick after that camp, and she actually got so sick she had to go to hospital. I was going to go, And anyway, she had to go to hospital, and I move from going, gee, she's a great leader, to like, gee, I really feel for her. And I remember ringing her three times at the hospital to see if she was okay. Karen and I started serving God together. We had a great friendship. And then later on we had another camp. And you know, at the end of the camp when you sometimes, I don't know if you do this these days, you know, in the youth ministry, but at the end of the camp, you have a big camp circle and everybody holds hands like this. Well, Karen was next to me and I did this move. Anyway, it was awesome. Sorry, this is not about us and our getting together, okay? There's a sermon here to come as well. But there's a point for saying this. And the point is, we ended up getting married and awesome, praise God for that. But the point is this. We actually were willing to serve God in youth ministry as in our late teens and in our early 20s, and it was a wonderful way to get to know each other and to meet someone and to find a marriage partner. Isn't that great? Now, it doesn't always happen like that, but I give thanks to God for that. But I want to say we are shaped to serve God by serving other people. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve one another. See, the Bible has a word for serving. It's called ministry. And when I say the word minister, I think a lot of people go, oh, that's like a pastor or a priest. But the Bible actually refers to this word. It's very similar to the word servant. Servant and minister go together, almost the same word in the Bible. Ministry is simply saying, I'm going to help somebody else in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it for his glory, and I'm going to help them. I'm going to use whatever abilities, natural talents, experience that I have so that I can minister. So in effect, you could look to the person next to you and say, you could say, you're a minister. Now, you could do that because you're a servant. You're part of God's family. You were and I were created to actually serve Christ and to be like Christ. And how do we become like Christ? We become more like Christ by serving, because Jesus Christ himself served. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said this, And he says it to the people originally for who are listening, but it's actually in the continuous tense. It's as relevant back then as it is for us today. So this is the word of God. Jesus said, "Your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve others." Your spiritual gifts, your natural abilities, your personality and experience will determine the ministry, the service that you have. But often it's our attitude that determines our maturity in how we do it. And becoming, because this is the last in the series of becoming who God shaped you to be, you can do it like this, by serving God. And how do you serve God? By serving other people. And that means three things. Becoming who God shaped you to be means this. It means being, number one, being available. Just being available. One day Jesus was walking down the road to go to Jericho, and a blind man started yelling out at him. And it's a great scripture, and I'm actually going to read it because it's actually quite novel reading from a book. You know, so, and I saw that that was done in communion today too, and so that was pretty cool. So I want to read to you, and it's on the screen as well, from the book of Luke, chapter 18 and verse 35. And these are what it says. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. And when he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening. And they told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David," this is the context, "have mercy on me." And then the people in front of him went, you know, can you imagine when you're in a crowd and you're yelling out from behind, they turn around and they go, "Be quiet." That's exactly what happened here. They said, "Be quiet." And then this is what he did. He shouted even louder. I've seen that happen as well. And he shouts out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And as the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do with you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God as well. But look at verse 40. There's a little phrase in there that's really important. And it simply says this: he, or Jesus, stopped. He stopped. If you want to be used by God, if you want to serve God, and I include this for myself, we need to be willing to be interrupted. Most of Jesus' ministry and most of Jesus' miracles, if you look at it, were actually interruptions. You think about it. The people that he healed, the blind man, the lame man, the sick person, the paralyzed man, the dead person, the dead child, all of them were interruptions. What did Jesus do? He stopped. In other words, he was available. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 28 says this: never tell your neighbour to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Great proverb. Becoming who God shaped you to be is about not procrastinating, but being spontaneous, being sensitive, and being willing to say, "Okay, let's do it." Now, that's easy to hear, isn't it? But here's a couple of, I was thinking about this. Why don't people step into that space? And I thought of a couple of barriers that hold people back. And some of those barriers, and one of them is self-centeredness. Sorry to say that, but it's true. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Forgetting yourself long enough to lend a helping hand." Oh, that was a bit of a sunk the boot in. I'm going to read it again. Forgetting yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Whenever you see a need in front of you, guess what? God's giving you the opportunity to practice serving, to be interrupted. And the number one enemy of compassion is busyness. And I'm too busy, and I'm so busy, I'm actually too busy to serve God by serving other people. And you know what the problem is? People put up a big sign, almost brought a sign in today that said, "Do not disturb." And they have it on their heart. They have it on their life. They say, "God, do not disturb." Don't disturb my little life that I've got going here. Don't disturb me for the sake of other people. Do you know, there was a guy, Tama, and some of you will remember Tama, who came here approximately a year ago, came from another church to help out with the worship team in setting up the inner ears and doing a whole lot of leadership stuff, which was great for our worship team. He did that out of the service of his heart. He came here for a couple of months. My son and daughter-in-law and our granddaughter just shifted in with us for the next few months, okay, which is wonderful. And they needed to shift their gear. Who was willing to help? Tama. Isn't that interesting? Tama made himself available, and his wife, future wife actually, no, not married yet, his future wife came along to help out, which was wonderful. Because he was not self, he said, he could have said, "I'm too busy, I'm preparing to get married." No, he didn't. He said, "I'll make myself available." You know, another barrier is this, is perfectionism. Waiting to be perfect. And Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says this, "If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done." If God only used perfect people, what would get done? Nothing. Because we all have weaknesses. We all have faults. We all have failures. We all have all sorts of handicaps. And guess what? God uses us all. Why? Because God doesn't use perfect people because there are none. There are none. So go ahead and start serving while things aren't settled down. You want to become and be shaped, becoming more like Christ? Be available. Serve God by serving other people by being available. Number two, you want to be shaped and becoming more like Christ? Well, you do it by just being, number two, grateful. Grateful. Grateful that we get the opportunity to serve. Jesus had an attitude of gratefulness in everything that he did. Not a sense of duty, not a sense of obligation, but a sense of opportunity that God has given to us to serve him. And Psalm 100 verse 2 says this, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Isn't that great? Serve the Lord with gladness. We serve him because of the gratefulness that we have to God, that Jesus came to this earth and we are saved because of what Jesus did. Because of our overflow of gratefulness to God, we serve God by serving other people. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 it says, "He who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because it was part of his plan." You know, it's just being grateful. And so again, I started to think, why aren't people grateful? Why aren't we grateful to serve God by serving other people? And I thought of another barrier. Because I think I've stepped into this in the past at times. Comparing and criticizing. When you compare and criticize others, that's a barrier that gets in the way for us actually being grateful. Romans chapter 14 verse 4 says this, "Who are you to criticize anyone else's servant? The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful. See, we're all servants. We've all been given gifts. You've got amazing gifts and talents and abilities. Every single person, online and in the church here today, and those who couldn't be here today. We've all got those. But you know what? When we start to compare and criticize, it's ridiculous. It's a blockage for being grateful. And then I was thinking, what's another blockage for being grateful, to serve God by serving other people, becoming more like him, was this one. The wrong motivation. See, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus said this, when you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. See, self-promotion and servanthood don't mix together at all. But it's easy to get them mixed up. A lot of our service can be self-serving. We serve sometimes to get other people like us. We serve to be admired. We serve to achieve our own goals. Or we serve, even this, as a bargaining chip with God. God, I did this for you, therefore you can do this for me. All kinds of wrong motivation. So how do you know if you've got the wrong motivation? When you lose a sense of gratefulness. You can know right away there's something wrong with my motivation. But when you have the right motivation, you know what? And I look out and I see people who serve God. Amazingly, you've done it for a lifetime, and we honor you for that. Because you have become more and more like Christ by serving God and therefore serving other people. You do it by being available. You do it by being grateful. And then thirdly and lastly, you do it by just being faithful. Not only are you available, not only are you grateful, but be faithful. That means you don't give up. You keep going. You don't quit in the middle of something. At the end of Jesus' ministry on this earth, Jesus said this in John chapter 17, verse 4. I have brought you, that's God, and Jesus in his earthly state is human and God at the same time. So he's actually submitting to God in that state before he's ascended back up into heaven. He says, I have brought you, God, glory on this earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus was faithful in fulfilling his service. Here's the picture. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are together. The earth, the people of the earth stuffed it up big time. They got together. The essence of God is the oneness, but there's three persons. And then Jesus, in agreement, the three of them, humbled himself to be born as a baby. He didn't come like Superman. He came as a baby so it wouldn't be a threat to anybody. And he lived this incredible life. And at the end of the life, you know, where he was going to pay, this is part of the big plan, to pay the price for sins, past, present, and future, once and for all of eternity, for as long as anyone would come and say, I put my faith and my trust and my belief in Jesus. When he died on the cross, he defeated Satan, sin, and death. And when he rose again, because it has to go together, he proved he was God. And we give him the glory. We say, thank you, Jesus, in your faithfulness to us, that in the garden when you sweat drops of blood, you didn't go, I'll call 10,000 angels and get out of here. He went and endured the cross. Therefore, we can be faithful because he was faithful. We can be faithful. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. He was persistent. And if you want to become who God shaped you to be, it means I'm going to serve while I'm alive. Now, you may retire from your job, and that's a good thing. But you never retire from serving God, because God wants us to serve him for the rest of our life. And you know what? as long as you're able, physically and all sorts of things like that, I get all that. It's a wonderful privilege, isn't it, to serve God? Because as you serve God, you do it by serving other people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says this: the one thing required of servants is they be faithful. Faithful. Anytime you serve in Jesus' name, no matter how small it might appear, it absolutely matters to God. In God's eyes, there's no little service. You know, if you go and give a cup of water to a child in the name of Jesus, that counts mega. It's service. Several years ago, two teenage boys were going to come into a church service similar to this. But the church service was pretty packed and it was hard to find a seat. And as they walked down, they looked around, and you know, I've been to churches sometimes when that, you know, when it's uncomfortable, you can't find a seat. Anyway, one of the ushers saw the boys because they couldn't find a seat, and they turned around and they started to walk back out of the church service. He said, "Look, guys, I'll find you a seat. I'll find you somewhere." And he found them a seat in the middle, and they sat down, and they were in and as part of the service. And that night, those two boys, those two teenagers actually, gave their life to Jesus and said yes to Jesus for the first time. And have a guess who one of those was? Billy Graham. One of the great evangelists of the 20th century who led millions of people to Christ. Don't tell me that something like that is small. If you're an usher in this place, that is significant. When you're out there in summer and it's stinking hot and you're welcoming people, I go, glory to God. You're serving God by serving other people. When it's raining in winter and you've got umbrellas out there and it's pouring and you're giving umbrellas to other people so they can walk in and you've got the rain falling on you, I go, praise God for you, because you're serving God by serving other people. And then when people stop out here and they welcome you and they shake, no, you can't shake your hand, they give you an elbow or a fist pump or whatever, because we're in COVID at the moment, and you know, they welcome you. It's awesome. When people absolutely, you know, like set up and have coffee available, when people do communion and serve, when the worship team serves, whatever it might be in children, youth, young adults, whatever it might be that you do, cooking a meal for someone, helping out by furniture for a lady who's having a heart problem, who's from Kalgoorlie, do you know what? You serve God by serving other people. And it all counts, and it's all important. No one is better than anybody else, because we're in a family together. So that when Arthur or Jess lead us today in worship, it's as significant as the person who welcomed us out there on the driveway. And I say thank you. But it's not just serving here. It's serving in the community. It's, you know, I mean, you might not be available to do stuff. Should be available. But you might not be able. But you can do stuff in the community. You know, I don't want to boast, but my wife just took on a position as a volunteer. She's the president of the Baptist World Alliance Women's Department. It's massive. And she's got this for 5 years for free as a volunteer. That's serving God by serving other people. And I give thanks to God for that. But you know what? Years ago, we used to be involved for a long time with giving out food. There was a ministry called Manna. And some of you may have heard it. In World Square, they'd make and cook meals and we'd take it down and we'd give it to homeless people. And you know what? We did in the name of Jesus. Everything counts. You know, we run a pastor's retreat each year for our pastors. And Jess, your pastor here, for years, led the worship team out of her service. And it blessed all of our pastors and spouses that came from all over Western Australia. Josh, up the back. Sorry, I don't want to embarrass you, man. And Steve as well. I don't know if Steve's here today. Steve Howe. They came along. They took time off work to come and help produce. And others did as well. Mark Edwards, your pastor here, came and let a whole lot of the administration side out of service for other people. Your pastors are being an example for you. Let us be an example to God. Let me wrap this up. We're here, each one of us, at Inglewood Community Church because God knew we had something to give back. He did. He didn't bring us here just to sit, to soak, and enjoy. Now, let me just stop there for a sec. Sometimes you need to sit, soak, and enjoy because you need healing. And that's absolutely okay. Okay? But there comes a time when we need to step up and we need to serve God by serving other people. And I say that to everybody listening online as well. You can serve God by serving other people in the community or when you're able to come back here and be part of the church life. God didn't bring us here just to sit, soak, and enjoy. But he brought us here to serve God by serving one another. One day we're going to stand before God and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? The talents, the abilities, the background, the experiences, the freedom, the education, the family experience. Well, I was a bit busy. I had my own ambitions and plans. I never got around to serving. And God's going to say, I put you there for a reason. So you could serve me by serving other people. I make no apology today because I'm a servant in this place as well. I make no apology in saying to you today, one of the most important things that you'll be able to do in your life is serving God by serving other people for a lifetime. Would you bow with me in just quietness and prayer? And I'm going to ask that as we're in quietness and prayer, Holy Spirit, that you would do your work in our hearts and in our minds. And I thank you that people have been able to come to Inglewood and found this a place of healing and restoration, and that's actually been good. Other people have been able to come here and find faith in Jesus by saying yes to Jesus for the first time. And if you've never ever opened up your life to Jesus, or you've for some reason have slipped back, God is there beckoning you to come to him. He wants to save you. He wants to give you a better way to live. And he wants to help you to know that he died for you on a cross and he rose again. And he loves you. If you've never made that commitment, then I encourage you to really seek out to God for that. But today there may be some of us who've been sitting for a long time. And sometimes these messages aren't easy to speak. But Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take the words that are right and speak into our hearts and our minds. We want to become everything that you called us to be. We can do that by serving you, and we express that by serving others. And there may be some of us here today, and you might pray a prayer just as simple as this in your heart and mind today. God, I realized I was shaped to serve you by serving others. Forgive me for the times that I've put up a do not disturb sign on my heart. Help me to see interruptions as opportunities to serve. Help me to make time for what matters most. You've been so good to me. I want to give something back. I want to serve you freely, gratefully, and faithfully. And I want to practice before I go to heaven so that on that day I can hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in." So God, we just pray now that your Spirit would move in our hearts and minds. And I pray that no one would feel guilt, because if we do anything out of guilt, it just is not the way to do it. But it would be of conviction of the Holy Spirit that we would step up. I thank you for this, that there's so many people in this church who serve you in so many different ways. And Lord, I pray that we'll be wise about not overdoing it as well, that we just take an area that we can serve you by serving other people within the community and within the church. And we do it for your honour and for your glory. We do it faithfully, gratefully, and we want to be available. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus.